Welcome to New Realities with Alan Steinfeld here on BBS Radio every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. West Coast time, 10:30 p.m. East Coast time. New Realities is a series of conversations with leading edge thinkers and conscious beings and all sorts of people bringing in a new awareness of what's possible on the planet. It is firmly based in the fact that a mind stretched to new realities never returns to its original dimensions. That is a quote that has been modified from an older quote that said a mind stretched to new dimensions never returns to its original form. So New Realities is based on dedicating exploring evolving human potentials in an evolving world. I, Alan Steinfeld, explore how to become more conscious in our everyday life, how to become a more accelerated being in our divine connection to the source. As our culture evolves outward from a kind of tribal ignorance into a collective global consciousness, our awareness also expands into embracing more of a totality and synthesis of the world. So each week I interview guests that are exploring that, who've had awakenings to that level of consciousness, who are ready to embrace a greater evolution of who we are as evolving, ongoing beings. Aldous Huxley said, "Our business is to wake up. We must find ways in which to detect the whole of reality in its illusionary parts, which our self-centered consciousness permits us to see." Our self-centered consciousness is the realm that we are aware of. It is the limited mind that thinks it knows what's going on in a world of infinite possibilities. John Stuart Mill said, "No great improvement in the lot of mankind or humankind is possible until great changes take place in our mode of thinking." So this program explores ways of thinking about reality, how we need to break out of a limited view into a more expanded possibilities. Recently, I interviewed someone named Robert Moss, who has written a book called The Three Only Things, the three only things being dreams, coincidences, and imagination. And what Moss says is that these three elements tap us into the unknown, another way of seeing what's possible that we didn't recognize before. And he has outlined very interesting, inventive ways of how to work with dreams, imagination, and coincidences. I'll be interviewing him on some upcoming shows. But let me just, before we get to my main guest, let me just read a little bit about the seven ways of opening up the imagination, which is the way we change the understanding of reality, is by thinking new thoughts in our imagination. We start to think new ways of seeing the world, but it comes from the imagination. Everything, I believe, comes from the realm of the imagination, which is really, as William Blake inferred, a higher form of perception. So in Robert Moss's book, he talks about the, this is a quote from Einstein, who said that a normal adult never stuffed when Einstein was asked about how he developed the theory of relativity, he said, "A normal adult never stops to think about the problems of space and time. These are things which he has thought about as a child, but my intellectual development was retarded. As a result, I began to wonder about space and time only when I grew up." So it's like getting back to that primitive child mind. Kathleen Rain wrote, the imaginative knowledge is immediate knowledge, like a tree or a rose or a waterfall. And lots of these people say it is a whole body feeling. The imagination is not just something coming from the mind, but it comes from the embrace of the unknown, which is what my guest tonight will really be talking about. This will be the second part of a two-part interview, being last week. I will be talking, as soon as we get Bernie Pryor on the phone, I'll be talking to Bernie Pryor about the nature of the mind, the nature of true love, divorce from ego identification, true love as the deepest embodiment of man and woman and woman. I could play some of the end of last week's interview. I think we'll just start fresh this week. But just to get us in that mood of understanding, I'm going to read a little bit more from this book about the power of dreams, imagination, and coincidences. Robert Moss says, by picturing our blocks, we can move beyond them. The body believes in images. Therefore, we must think in new images in order to give our body new ways of coping with new realities. If we can see our destination, we are more than halfway there, which means don't lose sight of the goals you want to accomplish in your life. This is an interesting one. He says, the big story is hunting us. It means the true destiny of our lives is nothing we have to seek. It's seeking us. Why we've come here on this planet is already known by the higher self. We just need to get out of the way and let that big story find us. There's a place of the imagination, and it is entirely real. This is what Robert Moss says, the sense that if we can imagine it, it is true. These are part of the seven secrets of the imagination. He says, we can also help someone increase their scope of the imagination. And this last one is that the stronger the imagination, the less imaginary the results. This was something by the Indian poet Tagore said. And he says, if we can imagine the totality of everything we are planning, we will find that we will hold on a second.
Hello. Yeah, are you ready to go on? Okay,
I'll just have the guy call you in a few minutes. Okay. Thanks. Okay. Bernie Pryor right there. Ready to come on the air. I'm just going to play a little opening song, and then we will proceed with the interview with Bernie Pryor. But I just wanted to give people a little background about the realms of the divine imagination, which we will be tapping into, and that will be examining as we kind of explore this new conversation with Bernie Pryor. So until we get him on the phone, I'm just going to play a little John Lennon. Thank you.
maybe just one kiss. You're the lady I've been waiting for. Kiss me once before I go out that door. Give me one, one.
Welcome back to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this week I am going to pick up my conversation that I began last week with Bernie Pryor. Hi, Bernie.
Hi, Alan.
I know you're kind of tapping into new energies, it seems like, and the whole download of excitement and expression, and but just give us a little background for people who may have missed last week's show, like where you're coming from and what your orientation to consciousness is.
Okay. Well, what I'm saying is we don't actually tap into new energies.
Uh-huh.
What happens is we just reveal what we already are in reality, in this actuality, in other words, in existence, in our daily lives. And how that takes place is a greater love of truth, or a greater love of the whole purpose of life, which is to embody more conscious living, more love, as ourselves, individually and therefore collectively.
So your base, you as an expression of consciousness, really stand for going to an absolute source, going back to the absolute essence, seeing who we are in our truth.
Well, again, it's just the way that we all look at things, and what I look at things from is another place entirely. First off, I say there's no my truth, there's just truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that everything is an expression of consciousness. Whether it knows that directly or not makes no difference.
Right, right, right.
Did you get that?
I get that, sure. And, but there is truth, though. There is just the truth, but it comes through these filters. Until we're out of the way, in a sense, there's still...
Well, it's not so much that it comes through filters, as when I, this man or this woman, is ready for, let's say, more energy of the real that I truly am, and somehow this takes place through our life experience when we've had enough, as it were, of experiences for the me. Somehow this genius that is behind all this, I'm just going to call it source,
uh-huh.
Then begins to ignite in our heart and in our experiences, and we begin to be inspired in a way that we weren't seemingly previously inspired.
Yeah, that doesn't happen to it happens to some people who are aware, but it doesn't happen to a lot of people, does it?
I would say it could happen to anybody. It can happen to someone dying of cancer. It can happen to somebody just, let's say, falling in love with a sunset. It can happen to somebody maybe it's living an entirely self-centered life, and something just unspeakable happens, and there's awakening. But what I am clear about also,
yeah,
is that when someone has experienced a depth of what consciousness truly is, in other words, what we truly are as human beings, that's really animating us, and it's been a real realization that it was real, it wasn't just mind, as it were, it was pure, then that person kind of, does, as it were, embody that universal energy that's animating all this directly.
Mm.
And it doesn't belong to them. It's just that in the direct experience of a deeper sense of self, that the actions of something purer or more real take place. Not that any other grosser action is less from reality, then, you know, then something that I just stated more real. It's just that in the experience of the individual, when one is getting a deeper sense of the purpose of their life, let alone life as a whole, then all those past experiences of personalization, well, they're the very ground that inspires us to be real and authentic eventually.
Right.
Because what I'm putting across here is life has integrity. The source has integrity. Everything is at work in the unseen, as it were, moving on the surface and awakening individuals. But like I said, if somebody's literally experienced that, it's kind of passed on.
Yeah, no, and I think it's obvious you wouldn't. There's something that happened to whoever's speaking here. I mean, there's something. There was a realization of something bigger than Bernie Pryor.
Yeah, and actually, I would say it's something smaller. This is crazy because I seem to be contradicting you.
No, I understand.
But there's something smaller that. Like, for instance, say somebody's living in a small room.
Yeah.
But if you're living in a small room, but you love, then that small room becomes vast. That's like the seed of life. Mm-hmm. So no matter what kind of smallness that you're feeling in, you know, you're feeling tight and in anguish, mm-hmm. somewhere in you is this small knowing of what you are as love or as awareness.
Uh-huh.
And when we just bring our awareness or attention to that, that smallness opens up into vastness.
Right, right.
And that can happen to anybody suddenly without any warning. An ordinary, you know, ordinary men and women, just through a simple conversation or some kind of activity that jogged, as it were, something, a deeper memory,
mm-hmm.
they just remembered something that is more real than, let's say, a previous egoic action. Something reflected back. Because it's a reflective universe.
Yes, something more real means something that woke them up to their connection to the source, that they are the source of all of this.
It awakens us to first off, the truth that we are misidentifying ourselves as body-mind identities. And suddenly our awareness, instead of stuck and pinned to the wall of self-concern, slips off and falls, as say, into more openness, and in that openness we experience the one self, or at least more of the one self, this greater freedom.
Well, let's go back to this understanding of, I would say, the divine feminine, in the sense that we're all created from the body, the body is matter that is of what I call the mother, the matter. The embodiment of spirit and form is the giving birth of life through the feminine element. Would you say that?
Yeah. Well, what I pick up in what you're referring to is there is a greater feminine than, let's say, a woman that we're attracted to.
Yeah.
That, and that's the same way as seeing, say, maybe the earth as feminine, the mother, and even the universe, our universe, as the great mother, and that is the potential in the feminine to realize she is the embodiment of that as woman.
Matter.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's like somebody referred to me the other day and said, I have nothing but nightmares and I can't sleep. And I said, well, nightmare, you know, I think it's French, isn't it? Mare, mother, and night. Well, that's when our consciousness slips into the unknown, full potentiality of the womb, as it were, the void.
Uh-huh.
And so in that mystery, it's a nightmare only for our body-mind identity, because it can't understand what that nothingness, that pure potentiality is, because it's still holding on to identity.
Mm. So is there an essential difference in form between the masculine male consciousness and the feminine female consciousness? Are there differences?
Yeah, it's still the play of the one. That's the essential message that I'm endeavoring to give, is that all is one self, and by this genius of this pure intelligence, the one self without splitting in duality. That's also what I'm endeavoring to for people to have a look to see if this is real. Uh-huh. Without splitting into duality appears as polarity.
Mm.
And it's that polar attraction to the masculine and feminine manifest in our lives as man and woman. That attraction is to unity or oneness. So if I may just say the difference that I said man and woman, masculine and feminine, is the masculine and feminine attraction is to the very principal energies of what masculine is. Masculine, divine mind. Feminine, absolute love. And then that then comes down, as it were, into bodies, or at least the potential to realize in the attraction of man and woman, divine love and pure mind in their attraction, and in that unity they realize oneness.
So the divine mind, the male side, is can be seen, as you've said, what I've heard in your lectures, as stillness.
When a man is completely in stillness, he's absolutely still mind, mm-hmm. and in that still, silent mind, you could say, is an awesome presence, a deep, awesome presence. And when a man is living from that awesome presence, so he's not going anywhere, mm-hmm. what will arise in him is spontaneity.
Mm-hmm.
And in his attraction to woman can begin to rest her heart inside of a relationship where the man is stiller, simply because she knows that stillness is what she actually loves, mm-hmm. which is the absolute truth.
And that's the attraction.
That's the attraction of unity always, to see that that unspeakable place is truthfully absolute.
So how does an attraction like that translate down into sexual attraction, into the attraction of forms and chemicals and passion? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, because let's face it, the whole attraction is to embody more love and pass it on. It's all about passing it on. Remember this, remember that, remember eternity, remember truth, remember love.
How can it get so confused with just sexual passion?
Because...
Yeah, we forget.
Well, simply because it's not pointed out to us that this attraction mirrors something greater than the attraction of bodies. It mirrors, let's say, consciousness creating the universe and participating in that universe in form as man and woman.
Mm.
So then there's great responsibility in that, in terms of knowing what I am as man and knowing what I am as woman. Man, like, woman is the guardian of love, really.
Mm.
And man is, you could say, the guardian of truth. And if they approached each other in that way,
But as you're talking, I would think that everyone would know this, but it seems like very few people do know this. But
it's simply because within the attraction is the primitive brain, the primitive brain that consciousness designed to make all this possible, the primitive animal brain. We are here as consciousness to grow that intelligence from the light of love, from the living of truth. That's how it grows. Our intelligence grows to match our deepest knowing, which is reality. It grows through action. It grows through, first off, living this life.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how conditional, we're gaining experience. And life has integrity. So somehow, for the living of experience, even in ignorance, somehow some part wakes up, even in that ignorance, because there's integrity behind all this. And some part of us wakes up and looks, as it were, for the deeper or higher purpose within all attractions, let alone the masculine and feminine.
Well, it doesn't happen in all people. I would say majority of people don't look for that. They're just run by their lower...
I hear what you're saying, but that's not my experience as I travel around the world. My experience not just traveling around the world, but being in the self, within myself, is this great trust of love and life and its integrity, and that nothing is out of place, no matter how it appears to our mind that wants to put everything right and fix it.
Well, I do like what you're saying about growing it, and if then if we could trace the steps of that growth, here we are born as a child from pure innocence and pure love and wonder, and we grow from that place. I mean, then we might shut down through limitation, and then, or, you know, as people meet the world, as you say, they could encounter heartbreak or disappointment, and that can then be an opening to greater depth or a closing down into oneself.
I know this sounds crazy,
yeah,
but I just keep referring back to this great intelligence that is manifesting all this, and that within all this, the miracle of awakening begins to take place, because there's always a reflection of the mystery or reflection of who we are in the deep, appearing as the earth, appearing as the stars, appearing, you know, as so many things. That there is a reflection. Wake up, look at this beauty. Wake up, you are this beauty, but deep inside. Wake up, and there's always this reflection going on, and people who do wake up begin to, let's say, walk this earth by living their knowingness, and more and more reflections happen, because you can't receive a reflection of your deepest nature until you're ready for it.
Right. I mean, it's true that as we look at the world seems infinite. So in order for us to even see it, that infinity must be in us. This is like...
Oh, absolutely. And even that infinity is within the patterns.
The pattern being what?
Well, the core of our conditionality, in other words, the core of our conditioning, is also woven on the thread of life. So therefore, no matter what the patterns that are arising, whatever is taking place in our pain, even in the core of our pain, is the one. We think that pain is a problem. We think that what's arising is a problem, as a pattern. I'm doing this again. This is happening again. But even for the pattern to arise means the one is in it. So it just takes... just a little experience and a reflection, as I've already spoken of, that we begin to discover, don't push away the pain. Begin to meet it and see what happens, because there's a part of us as pure being locked up inside that pattern, that pain, that conditionality, because otherwise this could not take place.
And pain is a natural part of life, I suppose.
Well, I view pain... as it were, it's like, especially when we're pushed or stretched into living our knowingness. In other words, when there's a situation in our lives and we know we've been untrue to the situation and it's arising circumstances, when we finally say, "Yep, I've been untrue to that, because my knowingness was this, but I actually did something that was from patterning. I did this." Well, in that there's pain, because the pattern is already stretching its muscles, as it were, and that's the pain. And the knowingness inside that pain is, it's almost like we betray ourselves, we betray our knowingness, and it's that betrayal that adds to that pain. But at the same time, it's an invitation to meet that pain and open up.
It seems like a slight contradiction. I know what you're saying, but the knowingness is to trust what we don't know, the unknown, in a sense, right?
Well,
is that,
I don't know whether you were there this evening when I spoke about brokenness.
Yes.
What I'm saying is everyone is avoiding being broken.
Mm.
They're avoiding the broken heart.
Yeah.
They're avoiding, you know, so many things. It's just simply that we think that in brokenness, like the heart breaking, that pain is not actually what we want. It's the brokenness that we want. The brokenness reveals to us who we are, but we're avoiding that brokenness.
But maybe there's another way of saying brokenness. I mean, what is being broken? The ego.
Well, it's like this, that I would express that brokenness in a different way to say what was in the past served what was in the past,
mm-hmm.
and now takes it to the next level, and another door has to happen. So it's the brokenness then is like a clay pot. If we see what we've manifested in the past as clay and we fashioned it in a certain shape, when it's done its work to bring you to greater intelligence and therefore greater love, then the clay pot has to be broken, dissolved, or let go of. I just call it broken.
So the breaking is really the expansion to greater love, although it doesn't seem like it when we're in the pain.
It doesn't seem like it because we're invited to embody a higher frequency. And the pain is the higher frequency coming into our nervous system and our old way of life, but inviting it to a finer resonance of being.
Mm.
Now, if we immediately let that in, because our knowingness tells us that that's the truth, although our identification with pain says, no way, but our knowingness tells us the truth, and that's what we hold sacred as truth,
mm.
as oneness, as who we deeply, deeply are, then a leap of consciousness through greater embodiment of love, of that profounder energy,
mm.
stretches us into a vaster experience of who we actually are.
Well, can it be actually a joyful experience if that?
Oh, absolutely, in surrender.
Yeah,
and of course, you could say there's kind of like steps to it. Maybe that somebody expressed to me today when I spoke of brokenness, the joy of that pain.
The joy of it. Well,
yeah. Sweet, you know, it's like sweet sorrow.
Yeah, but it's just feeling the sensation, you know. But
In the brokenness, I'm going to still use the word brokenness.
Yeah, I'm trying
to get... I've
had it, but
something
yeah.
deep and gentle and dynamically real is revealed, because the very growth of us as intelligence in our human circumstances, behind it all is this goldenness of our love, of our true love.
Mm.
So when the old pot is broken or dissolved, then the experience of that, let's say, heightened awareness, we realize ourselves in a deeper way. We meet what was moving us to stretch into the unknown through those experiences.
Mm. Mm.
And that's what we got to get. And that's always the invitation.
So, like in relationships, the heartbreak comes from relationships, maybe.
There's nothing that is not truth doing the heartbreak, doing what's taking place.
Mm.
It's always that.
So, is that the only... I mean, I guess it doesn't have to be the only... Can you move into a greater... I'm not trying to avoid it, or maybe I am,
yeah.
but is there other ways to move into a greater love than that pain of heartbreak?
It's this. It's very simple, really.
Yeah.
That greatest love requires a trust in that great love, that it knows what it's doing. And while we think that we have the power to reshape our lives and reshape the planet, we are being foolish. Because whilst we're trying to reshape it and hang on to personalized identity through believing that we continue, then this transformation doesn't take place, because there's still old energy held within our bodies and held in existence. That's the same as like Christ said, Jesus said, when he said you can't put new wine in old bottles.
Right.
You know? They have to be smashed. But when I say smashed, what I mean is dissolved.
Mm.
Nobody really enjoys the shattering of what's unreal. But love always shatters what's unreal, because that's what reveals the real.
Okay, so it's a constant process, isn't it?
Of course it is, because we're so vast as beings behind all this that is already complete, as reality is complete, our being is complete, but expression in giving it form will never be complete, because if being is complete, then it's so vast that it, of course it's going to take eternal expression to express vastness. That's why forms keep changing. That's why life keeps changing.
Yeah, it's the energy. Now people like Andrew Cohen have said right now we're moving to a new phase of the planet. He calls it the evolution of enlightenment. He says it's a collective enlightenment. Something else is happening to this awakening process.
Yeah, I can understand that, because I would put that in words in terms that every experience, no matter what it is, does not belong to a particular ego identity in terms of an individual man or woman. All experience is one. It's just our mind that has divided that experience as a me.
So what is happening on a planet now that's different than before? I mean,
because it seems to take, in existence it does take time to have as much experience of life on Earth in embodiment to bring about the understanding that actions on our Earth, ordinary actions, I'm being real with this, ordinary actions of everyday life, in man and woman's life, we're all in actions. Actions that are unconscious, in other words, from past ignorance, keep seeing the primitive brain, primitive mind, survival mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Now that survival's gone into surviving the ego, not just surviving the body. In its natural place in the animal is the survival of the species. The species no longer need to survive, so now it's jumped to the ego. And so now we need to survive his ego identities. So then what happens is, through all this, life has integrity, keep that in mind, that through all that activity, all life's experience, coming from that experience, which is really one experience in myriads of colors as the human life, that is creating nectar. I'm going to call it nectar. You could call it a finer energy of realization. Whatever you call it, is that experience finally creates understanding. Finally.
This is where we're moving into as a collective.
Yeah, because there is a great deal of people now on the Earth that are beginning to realize through their experience that experience coupled to egoic identity as this is my life does not fulfill. And that's a message that happens in everybody's life through what we learn individually. It goes down into the psyche and informs the masses of what is true. And so now there's enough experience in our linear identity for that whole experience to say, this is the truth. Now we can move into that. And so it's that energy of realization of the one humanity that's beginning to arise in men and women around the Earth. For those that are ready for it.
And where will that then take us, as you see it? Once we realize the one humanity, which is what we've always known in a sense, and always, but now we're having a real physical demonstration of it. What arises from that? What do you see?
Well, first off, what arises from that, in my own experience, is peace of mind. That's first. The mind becomes peaceful because the energy of realization, the energy of one truth, begins to arise in the mind. And then the heart, because the mind is not busy, the heart then, and of course consciousness as man and woman been identifying with the mind, so when there's no mind to identify with, that peace begins to allow the heart to open. And in that heart opening and mind opening, then consciousness begins to see itself clearly, and then sees that the universe directly is at peace, even though it's moving, and that everything that we begin to see, we see from the place of oneness. It's all very natural how this begins to occur, and from that arises joy and pure inspiration that's coming from the original idea of life evolving as man and woman, as consciousness on the earth. So then the real blueprint, as it were, at least the next level of it, is freed, and that's what Andrew Cohen is speaking about. I say, I haven't spoken to him.
He'll be in New York, you know, this Thursday. I hope we can go and check him out and see what kind of, because I think he's saying some similar things to you. He doesn't, I don't think he has the passion in the body, or he comes from a more intellectual place, but he has an awareness of something.
Well, I don't know any of that. I've never met Andrew, but I certainly honor his work of what I've read.
But you're speaking purely from your own experience.
I've never been taught anything in my life from anything exterior.
Right.
Life has taught me within, and there was only a few occasions around deeper realizations, and then experiencing, you could say, oneself experiencing nothingness, and many other experiences, was that reflected to me by someone that's very well known around the world now.
So you have now a passion to communicate these.
Well, I don't have anything. That's the point. The passion that you hear here is the uninterrupted state of rest. Arising is passion. That's what's so beautiful.
But it's coming through you. You could resist it if you...
No, not in the place that when one finally gets, there is only the living of truth that brings rest, peace, and inspiration, which you're saying is passion. Only then, when you get that, you clearly begin to see that to not give yourself to your deepest knowing of what is real is foolish.
Right.
It takes over. It literally takes over.
It takes over, and for you, it's almost there all the time.
No, it's not almost there all the time. It is.
So there is no Bernie Pryor in the sense that...
Well, I'm clear that there's no Bernie Pryor, but I still sign a piece of paper when somebody says, could you sign that for me?
But this is what's so difficult to understand. There's the...
Only to a mind that's not at rest. Only to a mind that still has agendas centered around a personal identity. When you don't have an agenda centered around a personal identity, because you're having enough life experience to realize, to take the next step into a finer realization and experience of love on earth, is to let go of identity and begin to live what you know is true. But then what happens with that is your identity, as it were, grows. Not as egoity, but the identity, as it were, expands to express what you are in the deep.
You know, an interesting phenomenon, though, around people who have that lack of is an increase of energy that flows through the body.
Yeah.
Now, how do you explain that?
Well, quite simply, the purer the heart and the mind and the actions, the greater the conduit of our body-mind experience is able to take the immensity of what we are, and that revitalizes us.
Mm. And revitalizes people around, too.
Well, because we're one, it simply comes into the earth. It's passed on. It is a frequency that... that resonance that begins to take place. When people come along to what I speak about, and they're ready for it, then there's a resonance that says, yes, I know this.
But
then we have to live that knowing.
Now, people come to hear this speaking, and then is there things that then are transformed that you've noticed, or what do people come away with? I mean, I know my experience that it's an opening and a reminder, but then there's a forgetting as well after. I mean, is there permanent shifts? And maybe there are, but in me, but what do you see as a result of people being in satsang?
Okay, well, all I can point towards is when the individual listening begins to be aware of a greater purpose in life and in their life, and is willing to let go of the idea that anything can be owned in any way whatsoever, then in that there's a natural dissolution of force which holds on and projects everything for itself. Now, when that begins to disappear, then spontaneously what we are begins to arise, begins to transform everything in life.
Right. And people have that experience of that. And in the reality...
Absolutely. It's like, may I say, if the man listening called Alan...
Yeah.
And I know and love him.
Thank you.
Begins to truly realize that what he's doing is not for him to gather more identity, but actually to release it. Then he becomes more real, and he gives form to a greater reality living. And that's what I'm speaking of to everyone.
But how do I release my identity?
By seeing clearly that you don't have one.
Well, I don't, and I do. The illusion...
Then I guarantee you that if you, when you said, I do, then you stay with, I do see that. And then that part of you that doesn't see that is your growing intelligence within our humanness that's matching the consciousness that is knowing I do.
Mm.
And that's the kind of... That's like... positive and negative coming together and creating a flow. That's what's taking place. So the more you live your knowingness, then all that you will say to yourself is, I do know, and then it'll just be, it'll be a living reality.
So that's the practice in a sense. That's
it's giving up, surrendering the idea, because we've had enough experience that you ever do anything. But then you begin to move as consciousness, because that's what you've always been. And the appearance that it is Alan doing it, because consciousness, which is being, has individuality of being.
Mm-hmm.
And that individuality of being, as it is, all comes down, becomes an individual human being. And that's what's so unique about the whole thing.
Have you met other people who have come from that same resonance, who have awakened to that? I mean, of course, everyone has.
Hopefully or partially.
Yeah, and what happens when you meet other beings that know that the truth of that?
Instant love, instant recognition.
Uh-huh.
No division. I mean,
I mean, this is our course of evolution, for everyone to be in that place.
Well, it's not everyone to be in that place. That to me creates a pressure to do that. It's like somebody's doing that, but clearly there is, let's say, a movement of energy or consciousness to flow as that. Do you follow what I'm saying here?
In that, we
give up the resistance in our life, which is simply the appearance of past identity. That's what resistance is. We begin to see clearly that the past identity is what our resistance is, and the need for a future as security is the reflection of part of the past throwing itself forward. So not only do we get that past resistance, we get a carrot of the future to have some kind of continuity.
Mm.
Now, when we begin to truly understand that, then what arises in us is inspiration.
Mm.
And that inspiration is the universe, the deep, inspiring us to be authentic and original, and it naturally takes place, and any man or woman that realizes has great vision. Not as something that forcibly must happen, but is the truth of like a blueprint, a greater blueprint, descending on us, and the potential to surrender to that, as it were, and find it spontaneously, we actually begin to be inspirational beings, full of what we truly are, and yet in deep peace.
Mm.
So rested in what we actually are, and naturally such people seems like they're doing, but all that is happening is the natural movement of love to know love to know love in all things is taking place.
Mm. Yeah, no, I'm getting it. The more you speak, it's sinking into to me, the reminder of what I've always known.
That's it. But the reminder isn't enough.
Okay.
Unless I live what I'm reminded of.
So how do we live what we... How do we live it?
Alan, it's so simple. If we know something is true, then you live it because you're having to live.
How do I live it? I know it's true. Then what?
Well, then easily that in every action, in all ways, the reality is reflecting back to us what is fundamentally and directly true. Mm. So in any moment in that reflection of any activity, in the way we've been speaking of, we know when we're not being true. So
we
then
know
it's a
body feeling sensation.
It's not just a body feeling. It's a direct knowing behind the body, because the knowingness is behind body-mind identity. So knowingness isn't of personal mind that gets you down the street and to work. Knowingness is that moves the entire universe, and that's what everyone is, and that's what we're endeavoring to realize. So when, in the simplest little thing, your knowingness says, don't do that, you don't do that.
Right.
When your knowingness says, do that, you do that.
Right. Right.
And in that way, the old begins to fall away, and naturally you uncover the reality that is your true nature.
Yeah, the confusion of not knowing and knowing.
Yeah,
and
but if there's any agenda to maintain the false identity, because you're realizing that the false identity had a place in terms of we're not the animal body and all the thoughts and feelings, so that's false identity. When you begin to truly take this in and live it, and it still arises as it does, because most people are living this, so there's still these fragments flying around the universe still informing us of the old patterns. When you're beginning to truly love as you are, in my experience of you in the past couple of weeks, then to ask, how do I do this, is insane.
You do this
by living what you know.
Yeah.
You don't do anything else.
No, thank you for reminding. So you see that I am love. You see that. You see who I am or could be or desire
and
to be.
That I see the beloved everywhere, no matter what's appearing.
Yeah.
That's what it is. But I also see the ignorance of the primitive brain still, where consciousness is still identifying with that as a me identity.
Yeah.
And like you've just stated, Andrew Cohen said, we're moving into or invited into a greater reality. It's where the next step into our embodiment of more conscious loving in action as our lives of union.
So you were saying tonight there was also something else fresh arriving through you? Is that what I understood? Or something new, some another spin?
I've been so inspired by New York, and certainly I've just been on a 3-month tour of Europe and Scandinavia, and
yeah,
I've been so inspired by seeing what's taking place in the people. And New York, kind of, you know, in its granite foundation, which I've noticed, rather like Stockholm, I've been to Stockholm, kind of draws me deep into the roots of New York. You know, and somehow all these experiences, which they do anyway, but it's at this time for me at the moment, there's so much happening to release a finer and finer reflection of our true nature.
So can you talk?
And I'm writing
a
book about it at the moment, and that's what I'm writing.
Oh, you said you don't want to talk about it at the moment.
Well, I've simply been talking about our own self-betrayal eventually, really.
But like you said, the ego ultimately wants to betray itself.
Well, it's that we betray ourselves. That
we betray our ego.
Our deepest knowing is when we move out of our heart-centeredness. But we still do it simply because we're avoiding pain. Avoiding being broken.
And ultimately, that cannot be avoided.
Ultimately, if we're wise enough, we've got to see that, I'm going to use the word, the great feminine,
right,
the great mother, is drawing everyone home, as it were, into this new nectar that is arising as the real potential, like never before, to be radically new, individually, therefore collectively. And it's that power that's passionately inviting everybody to live that knowing, live that truth as their life.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'm not giving too much away.
No, you're not. Well, there's nothing to give away.
There's not. No.
Because it's just, it's a constant inspiration and poetry that seems to come through you as you just make yourself available. This is what I notice. As you make yourself available for truth, it becomes more and more poetic in your expression.
Yeah, it's just so beautiful, and you know, I just have a great love for what really is love. You know, that's all I can say, and I've had that all my life.
And there's nothing. I mean, but just as we kind of come finish up a little bit, there's nothing personal. I mean, you have to feed your body. There's probably, you know, attractions that come up. There's things that could be mistaken as personal in a sense.
But that's the growing of intelligence, the growing of a human being, which I've already explained in terms of how that works, is that just be clear that every attraction that happens in your body-mind consciousness isn't necessarily true attraction. It's attraction to a pattern.
Right.
And what do you want in your life? Do you want attraction to a pattern? So you're going to move more and more around in attraction of pattern, which is definitely going to cause suffering, it's going to cause pain, it's going to cause separation, lack of abundance, so many things. Or is your attraction to the attraction to eternity, to oneself? Now, if that's the case, you begin to divine in attraction what is true attraction, or what is simply patterning? to even to have this conversation or the people listening to this conversation, then everyone that is listening must be ready for this, because life has great integrity. You just don't listen if you're not ready.
Right. So then just to kind of...
I can finish up in these words, may
yes.
I? There is nothing valuable in time.
Nothing
valuable in time except what is at the core of experience, which is our true self. What is valuable cannot be gained, and it certainly can't be lost. So then if that's the case, then with that knowledge, we can be inspired from a deeper place, and that brings greater energy, greater purpose into our individual and collective life.
But the universe, nothing's gained, nothing lost, but it seems like there's an increase of energy that's now coming through, or as you say, finer and finer.
Well, it's quite simple. Reality, that's behind shape and form, mm-hmm. is already complete. It's as if we're playing the game within actuality of body-mind identity through forms, through movement of forms.
Uh-huh.
So evolution is simply, as I kind of explained in the beginning, evolution is that if reality as universal consciousness is already complete, and this is its reflection and is continually changing, then obviously this universe, our matter universe, is not complete. The scientists have got it wrong. This is not complete, because it can't ever be complete, because the real is so vast it takes an eternity of expression to express what it is. So how can it be complete? And that's evolution.
It's in process of being created. This.
Yeah, but it will never be created, Alan.
No,
in this universe, simply because we are so vast. What is completed inside each and every individual, that their experience of life as man and woman, as humanness,
uh-huh.
will eventually, at some point or other, meet that is beyond experience, but it was happening through experience.
Well,
so then in that, the intelligence that's going to buy a cup of coffee and doing so many things, finally, as it were, meets itself within, and that it realizes, I am complete. And that's the completion of the universe within everybody appearing as man and woman. So in the same way, those stars or universes that we see in our formed sky, they will keep appearing. You know, in years to come, we'll still discover more and more planets and more stars, simply because as we get truer, then we manifest the truth as our actions, and that gives rise to more and more stars. So the universe here is not expanding. It's simply as individuals are true, then the light of that truth shines and revolves in our skies. I don't know whether you or the listeners
I'm getting it, because it's like we are creating the universe with our own awakening, with our own coming into knowingness.
When I say I would let go of the we,
okay,
I would just say consciousness, then it's it kind of, you know, loses the grip of being self-centered. Otherwise, we begin to believe again that we're body, mind, thought, feeling, identity. And yet, we, as consciousness, there is no doubt that consciousness is flowing through body, mind, thought, and feeling. Otherwise, it couldn't take place. The awakening to that is what brings profound transformation in the individual, and therefore, eventually, in the collective.
Wow.
So the universe out here is expanding, and it will continue to expand in eternity, and it will never fill up, because what we are in the deep is eternal, and it's constantly giving form.
I mean, as we see more and more of who we are, the universe gets vaster and deeper as well.
Yes, because more of it releases, as it were, or brings in into our reflective existence more of what we of what consciousness is as reality, and that when we allow that energy in, it manifests through mind and appears as our sense perceptive universe.
Yeah, I get that. And so the universe is unfolding as we are.
That's it. You got it.
Huh.
As human intelligence.
It's
amazing,
I mean,
isn't it?
It is. It's amazing, and it's a miracle, and it's beautiful. And all in one.
That's our basic attraction to being human and in this universe, to bring the light of truth embodied as our experience.
So say that again, the basic...
Our basic attraction to all our actions is to embody more love, the light of truth, within our actions.
Uh-huh.
So then what fuels our actions is the direct knowledge and cognition of oneness coming in.
Mm. Yeah, I get that. I mean, the more that's a realization, the more joy and elation and dissolving of the ego we are.
It still takes, as I've said I keep pointing this back.
Yeah.
It's the living of what you know to be true.
Not just
that brings the joy, the love, and the inspiration. If we don't live that, then we don't see the painting painting, the picture that we're painting. We keep looking at an old picture.
Mm. What, we don't see the freshness of the living universe right in front of us.
It's kind of our intelligence then is not informed by the truth of our knowing that the past has gone and we've learned from it. We're now painting from our past experiences and the truth that arose through experience. We're painting a new picture.
So you're asking us to engage in the living, real universe that is growing and developing right in front of us.
I'm not asking anything.
It's
very clear to me that that is what's taking place.
It's what's taking
place. It's ignorant
reality.
To believe that it's not taking place, and that's when pain arises. We're at rest when we live the truth of our being, the truth of our unity.
So when we do that, heartbreak is transcended in a sense because...
Absolutely, you've got it. Uh-huh. Then there's no need to have the old clay heart broken because you're living in brokenness in that you're no longer identifying with actions as being self-centered.
Uh-huh.
It's the universe in action, and that's our unity.
Uh-huh. That's great.
Isn't it?
Yeah. No.
And that's what we love about seeing each other. That's what we love about our creativity. That's what we love about our deep knowingness. It's seen to be here as everything that's taking place.
Mm. And it is. It is when we sort of rip the things that have keeping us from life away from us and engage.
There's no things that are keeping us away from life, Alan. Life's keeping itself away from life. You are life.
Yeah, but the mind itself is separated.
You also created the mind.
Yeah, right. But it's
you see, this
a
is
filter.
Responsibility. This is what we begin to discover.
The ego has become the filter between me and what's real.
No, the ego is also an instrument that I, listening, have created for this whole thing to take place. And without the ego, we couldn't even have self for this to take place because matter is self. But we've been self-conscious instead of conscious of the one self involved in all this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the evolution, and that's the understanding. To no longer project anything outside, but to look totally within to understand the universe of form and the actions that take place within it.
Huh. I get that. Okay. I think that's a good place for people to contemplate.
That's a good place for people to rest their heads. That's the bosom of the universe, the heart of all love, and where everything is arising from.
Good, yeah. No, I mean, it's a lot. I mean, I'm just being with it all and having it.
You've never been without being with it. That's what we're realizing.
It's tearing down the structures that have been in the way.
Oh, eventually that's sweetly dissolved.
Mm. So if people want to get in touch with you and your organization...
They can tune into www.berniepryor.org. That's Bernie, B-E-R-N-I-E, Pryor, P-R-I-O-R.org. And I see there are sax sayings. I think one more happening this week in Centerpoint tomorrow at 8 o'clock. And there's also a three-day workshop, retreat in the Catskill Mountains from Friday morning until Sunday evening. They just have to go to the website and all the information is there.
And then you'll also be back next year, it looks like, right?
I'm so inspired to come back to New York. This is my second visit.
Oh, great.
And I feel a deep calling within my heart to come back, and I think I'll be back here for a longer period.
Great, I hope so. I hope so, because as more and more people hear these programs and they'll be circulated on websites, I think the more people want to have this realization, awakening.
In themselves, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Bernie.
Thank you very much, Alan, for giving me the opportunity to
speak. And perhaps we'll do more. I can call you anywhere in the world and we can...
I'd love to.
And even dialogue with some other people who've had similar experiences.
Would
that be interesting for you?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm going to just play a song, and today I've been talking to Bernie Pryor, and it's Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. And if you want to reach me, you can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net, and I welcome comments and anything else you have to say about the program. Here's a little song, Across the Universe. Thank you for listening.
Drifting and caressing.